ABC Radio Darwin.
You've been named in the last day or two as the patron for this year's NAIDOC Week. What does that involve?
I'm very, very honoured to be named a patron for the NAIDOC. It's recognition by my own community of my achievements around the language area. It involves promoting NAIDOC to people. I'll be attending a number of functions and talking about language and the work that AIS is doing in the Territory.
I said that I can't even say hello to you in any other language than English. And I feel bad this morning about that. As I was just about to say hello, I thought, I should know how to say hello to you. How would I say good morning to you?
There's a whole lot of different
ways. In your language?
Well, I speak English as the first language.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got the interpreters speak their own languages, but I can assure you that there's a lot of different ways of saying hello.
That's an extraordinary statistic that I just gave out. 35,000 people speaking an Aboriginal language at home, and it's something that puts it right into prominence this week when our language matters, because the language is the way that you communicate, not just about how to get on the bus or drop all the kids off at school, but how you actually operate in the society at large.
It's all about when and when you're talking about Aboriginal people speaking language at home, most communities, general business is all done in Aboriginal languages. On homeland centres and outstations, English is rarely spoken or heard. So it makes a big difference, like when kids come into school and they're learning in English, it's a completely totally different language. It makes a difference, things like even the news, and I'm really happy to say we have the ABC News in a number of languages up here in the Territory. When you and I go home, we can listen to our TV or radio, we can understand what's happening, we can know what's happening across the world. With Aboriginal people, until recently, didn't get those sorts of that information. A lot of Aboriginal people speak conversational English, which is, and it could be, you know, sports, everyday conversations. But when you start talking about legal stuff, you're talking about life-threatening diseases and that. That's when interpreters are needed.
And so we go back 17 years to look at the beginning of the Aboriginal Interpreter Service. Were you part of it 17 years ago?
Yes, I started work. We started on the 1st of April. 2000, and I was there on the 1st of April. I've been there for 17 years now. We started with two staff and six interpreters. We've now got about 75 staff, full-time staff, a number of those interpreters, and we've got about 300 interpreters.
Was that always the aim, to build it to that point?
Yeah, and we're continually growing. There's, you know, more and more. We're doing about 35,000 hours of interpreting a year now, and I can see that increasing. Our workload is increasing as we speak.
So you go back those 17 years and you look at what you've been able to do. What is the most important role that you've played, do you think, as the Aboriginal Interpreter Service?
Look, I think to help one person would be just one of the best things we could have done. When I look at the amount of people that are now hearing messages in their own language and understanding what's happening, we've done a lot of things. We have a whole range of, we have on-site interpreting. We now have audio-visual interpreting. We do a lot of key messages out in language, like, you know, campaigns that are running. So people, any policy changes and initiatives, we're able to put those into the major languages and get them out there. So our people are understanding more and more every day. Cyclone warnings, all of that sort of information, we're able to do that in language.
And so to what extent do you interact with the emergency services and police and courts and that sort of stuff on before anything is actually happening?
We were able to, when Cyclone Lam hit, that was the last big one, we were able to have interpreters on hand to be able to put messages out in language. After the cyclone, they were able to help with the cleanup, be there to let people know, you know, what was happening about evacuations, the housing, the rebuilding of the housing. We've had interpreters involved in all of those areas.
Colleen Roses is in the studio with us this morning, 17 after 7. She's the director of the Aboriginal Interpreter Service and also the patron for this year's NAIDOC Week. You'll hear plenty more across the week on ABC Radio Darwin. I was saying that, I was watching TV on ABC TV News last night and saw the story that Alex Barwick did about the Aranda language and how they're doing 50 words that you could know. Is there something that we can learn, that us that don't speak the multiple languages that are available in the Northern Territory, that would help us interact more with the Indigenous community?
Yeah, look, there are some apps available. I know with health they've got an app where some key messages or key questions that the doctors can use when working with patients, and that doesn't take the place of an interpreter, but it just helps them understand more about what if they do need an interpreter or not.
How much is there a crossover where what I'm saying in English or the government are saying in English is totally misinterpreted because when you translate it, it simply doesn't translate?
Look, there's a whole lot. Now, we do a lot of working with interpreter training, and one of the exercises we do is one in five. And that's normally what an Aboriginal person that speaks English as a second, third or fourth language would understand. So every fifth word of yours. So it's about people getting those words and then trying to put them together coming from their own cultural background. So that's how confusing it is. There is so much misinterpretation out there that we're not even aware of. And I've been working in this area for a long time and I still think, oh, yeah, maybe, you know, we need to think of actually how we're saying things.
Give me an idea about how it works practically. Let's say, just for instance, that you're going to a court case. How do you get an interpreter? How do you say, I would like to have my language interpreted by what's happening in the court?
Look, it's an interesting one. AIS is set up, so we're set up for service providers to actually communicate with Aboriginal people. So it's not like an Aboriginal person can come and say, look, I need an interpreter. So we've developed a number of tools. So when our service provider's working with an interpreter, they can determine if they can determine if an interpreter's needed. So once they've determined that, it's just ringing up. We need to understand a whole lot of background, the language, the community the person's coming from, what the charges are, if it's a court case, if it's a health thing, what sort of thing, because we do have to do the cultural screening and gender screening, which is a really important part of our role as a service. And after that, it's just getting the most highly qualified, appropriate person to the job.
Let's talk about the qualifications. How do you become one?
Okay, we identify a potential interpreter that has good English skills and their own language skills. We do a formal language assessment in both languages. Once they've done that, we do a 3-day induction because we are public servants, so they're inducted into the NT Public Service and then into the AIS and how we operate. We then provide training in professional in health or legal. There's a number of qualifications. There's a diploma of interpreting, but there's also the NATI, National Accreditation Authority for Translators and Interpreters. Now, that's a national body that has international recognition. So quite a large amount of our interpreters have the NATI accreditation at conversational interpreting level 2.
But it's not something that anyone could do.
You
need to have lived in the community or grown up in a community for a long time.
Yeah, look, we find a lot of people may lived in a community for 3 or 4 years and may have a sort of fairly good handling of the language, but that's not enough to what we expect our interpreters to be. They have to have high-level language, both English and Aboriginal language, for instance.
Our language matters. It's the phrase that's being used along with NAIDOC Week. It doesn't seem to matter much externally because those languages are dying. And as you were saying to me just before you came into the studio, when it comes to an Aboriginal interpretive service, we're it in the Northern Territory.
Yeah. Look, and I'm really honoured now, but language is finally getting recognised. We still have people that ring the interpreter service and say, I want somebody in an Aboriginal language, and I said, well, which one? It's great that our languages are finally being recognised. They've always been there. We have lost a lot of languages for a whole number of reasons. But the fact that here you can't do business with Aboriginal people who speak English as a second, third or fourth language unless you use interpreters. There's been so much wasted, people going continually out to communities, not getting the message across, coming away thinking they've told everybody, and then looking back after, people haven't had any idea of what's, you know, there's completely different concepts when you talk about Western
and it can come down to the small
culture.
Words. Just tell me, because you were saying to me in the before you came in, certain simple words that just don't translate.
Yeah. Words like in most languages, words like can, will, must, should, could all mean the same, have one word in that language. So that can become really confusing when people, especially things like the police caution. So where they say you have the right to remain silent, you know, but we'll ask you questions, it's people take that on as I have to answer. So we ended up working with some interpreters, linguists, police lawyers and the courts, and had a working group set up to put the police caution into a English version that could be interpreted into Aboriginal languages. So we've got 18 languages now in the territory that when the police get Aboriginal people on the side of the road, they can play it either on the side of the road or in a record of interview. That we've had expressions of interest about that language from Canada and even Mozambique, because it's never been done to how NT has done it. So we're really proud of some of our achievements at the AIS and what we've been able to do there.
I think you should be proud personally too. You've done an extraordinary job. It's 17 years service.
Oh, look, I am so passionate about Aboriginal languages, and at the end of the day, ensuring the rights that Aboriginal people
have. You're winning everything. You've been named as the patron. Last year you got the Chief Minister's Award for Excellence in Indigenous Leadership.
I'm just really honoured to be here and doing
winning.
It's part of being who I am and being an Aboriginal woman.
ABC Radio Darwin.